This is in the 10th chapter of Mark, beginning with the 46th verse. They spent some time in Jericho, and as Jesus was leaving town, trailed by his disciples and a parade of people, a blind beggar by the name of Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting alongside the road. And when he heard that Jesus the Nazarene was passing by, he began to cry out, "Son of David, Jesus, mercy, have mercy on me." But many tried to shut him up. But he yelled even louder, "Son of David, mercy, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped in his tracks. Let me say that again. Jesus stopped in his tracks. "Call him over." And they called him over and sarcastically said to him, "It is your lucky day. Get up. He's calling you to come." And throwing off his coat, he was on his feet, and at once he came to Jesus. And Jesus said, "What can I do for you?" And the blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "On your way," said Jesus. "Your faith has saved and healed you." And in that very instant, he recovered his sight. Now listen closely. And he followed Jesus down the road. All right. I've been trying to figure out whether I wanted to tell this story at the beginning or the end. But I got two humor stories. So I guess I'll give you this humor story first. You got two psychiatrists, and they're talking to one another and asking each other what was their most difficult case. And the colleague answered, "Well, once I had a patient who lived in a pure fantasy world. He believed that a wildly rich uncle in South America was going to leave him a fortune." Have we heard this story before? Yeah, but I think it's California and a grandfather. But anyway, all day long, he waited for that make-believe letter to arrive from a fictitious attorney. He never went out or did anything. He just sat around and waited. "Well, what was the result?" said the first psychiatrist. "Well, it was an 8-year struggle, but I finally cured him. And then the stupid letter arrived." Mm-hmm. Some people are afraid to open their eyes to what's around them. And while that's humorous, that's what Bartimaeus was going through. That's what this story is really about. And it's the message that's really for this church. Because, you know, we have got a church full of folk. If you look at everybody that comes to this church, everybody here has good, solid reason to give up. Amen? Amen. Just stop. You know, there are times that it just gets too hard. We have people that have lost family members. We have people whose health has changed, and it means that their lifestyle is now different. We have youngsters who are growing up in a world where we know that the level of integrity and dignity is not the same as when we were younger. And it scares us to death. We live in a world, by the way, for those of you who don't think that there ought to be some kind of reform within the criminal justice system, let me give you an example of what happens to people today. People today get arrested. They go to court, and the only way that they can get through that court system is with an attorney that they cannot afford. And so they're given an attorney that is pro bono, yes, but that attorney is already overwhelmed by more cases than he or she can objectively take care of. And instead of seeking justice, what happens is that that attorney goes in front of the judge and the prosecutor, or the prosecutor who wants to make good things happen on his record so he can run for re-election. They start making deals. Amen. Now, I will remind you before I go too far with this, and those people that might think they're going to disagree with me, bottom line is we are admonished by Scripture. You know, oh man, what you are supposed to do. Do justice. And I'm telling you, when you're making deals in the courtroom, there is no justice. Because what happens is, well, we'll plead your case down. You won't have a record, but you do have this fine that you have to pay, and we're going to put you on probation. You report to probation. Oh, by the way, did I add that you didn't have a job to begin with when you got arrested? You report to probation and you find out, in order to complete your probation, you got to pay them a fee. And in addition to the fine, and in addition, they charge you interest on that balance. So here you are, caught in the jaws of the justice system, trying to make a decision whether you're going to pay your probation fee or you're going to eat. And I dare say that there are people that make a decision to eat. And guess what? They get arrested again. And here we go. So when you want to talk about reform, we ought to think about talking about reform that begins to repair people, that has something to do with justice, that has something to do with providing mercy, and has a whole lot to do with us walking humbly with God instead of deciding that we are the God, judge, and jury for folks. Nobody, folks, does stuff without a reason. Nobody. We could get as mad as we want, but if you're going to call yourself a follower of Jesus, that somewhere along the line, you got to let it go. You got to give somebody the ability to heal. Bartimaeus, do you know what a pain he was to people in that time that he lived? Because we don't think about it. Because, you know, we think about blind people today, and we've done all these wonderful things, you know. We've got the traffic lights that beep, and we've got computers that talk. And so if you're blind in today's world, you can at least move around a little bit, right? So we don't think about Bartimaeus being all that big a deal. But in his day and in his time, let me tell you something. He was a pain in the royal ass to most people because he couldn't take care of himself. He had to be guided wherever he went. He had to have meals fixed for him. And I'm pretty sure, have any of you ever been at a point where you were just sick and tired of being sick and tired?
Yes.
And were you at that point where you were sick and tired of asking for help?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And not getting it?
Yes.
Or you got to the point where you weren't going to ask for help anymore because all you got when you asked for help was people begrudgingly giving you something and you knew that they were thinking that you were a lazy, no good, shiftless whatever. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, when you listen to the rhetoric that's in the world around us, aren't we tempted to sit there and start talking about, thank God I am not those people? You heard what Jake read as the epistle. How many times have we been to church, baby? If you're not dressed right, nobody talks to you. You've all been part of those churches. You've all been part of the churches that if you weren't on the right committee, amen, or the check wasn't written with enough zeros after it, And how many people, when the offering basket comes by, you see them do this? Where's the basket? Give me the basket. You know, they reach into their pocket, cover it up, put their hand as deep in the basket as they possibly can. And why do they do that? Because they know that people are watching. You know that we've gone through that here at this church. Hey, Pastor, how many more MARTA tokens are we going to give to people that are not giving anything in return? How many more times do we have to bring food and feed people that never bring anything? I am telling you that we have lots of Bartimaeuses amongst us. And guess what? Hold up the mirror. Hold up the mirror, and you will find that your name is Bartimaeus. So what is this story about? It is about not giving up. It is about shutting out the community that says you can't and hearing the God that says you will. Did you hear that? Shutting out the community that says you can't, and hearing the God that says you will. By the way, notice I didn't say hearing the God that says you can. I said, hear God say you will. Because that is what it's about. When Bartimaeus sat there on that road and started screaming, the entire community looked at him, and I can picture it, almost a collective, will you shut up? But you know what's even more interesting about the story? Is in all that chaos that was going on. As a matter of fact, we had an example of it when Pope Francis was here. Did anybody notice that day that he was in Philadelphia and the motorcade started moving? And all of a sudden, it came to a dead stop. And he hopped out of that vehicle that he was in, and he was immediately over to this fella that was in a wheelchair that apparently was a paraplegic, couldn't move their hands or their feet, and was sitting right there, just wanted to see the Pope. And the Pope was aware enough that they stopped everything, and went over to that man. Do you think some healing happened? The healing happened because Bartimaeus wasn't going to give up. Now, I know that all of us are faced with challenges, but you got to keep calling out to your God. You got to keep calling out to Jesus and ignore the people that would tell you to shut up, because they're going to get sarcastic about it. Amen? Don't you love that line? Wasn't that a great line? Hey, dude, get up. It's your lucky day. The man wants to see you. How arrogant! Church, hear the message. Let us not ever be that arrogant. Let us not consider anybody who comes to this church lucky. People who come to this church are blessed. People who get to know people in this church are not lucky. It's not your lucky day. It is your day to experience the God who says you will. The God who says, never mind the world out there that says you can't. Because I created you out of love. Have you ever noticed that? You ever noticed how many people are so negative? You know, nothing is right. Nothing's ever good enough. You know, if people would just do this, do that, do the other thing. They forget, folks, and maybe we sometimes forget, that we were created out of love. Out of love. So by God, yeah, we got to sit on the side of the road and be humble enough to ask God to have mercy on us, because we ain't perfect. We got work to do. Jesus, have mercy. I've messed it up. And then at some point, you will see that Jesus stops, and people around you will look at you and go, ain't you lucky? You know, remember that, that that's what's being said about you in the political world when you get your Social Security check. Today's your lucky day. Some churches, when they hand out hygiene kits, keep a scorecard. When they hand out food, see how many people we're feeding. See how many kits we put together. By God, we ought to be about the fact that we heard the cry and we stopped. Those people that we give the kits to, they are not the lucky ones. We are. Because in each and every one of those faces, in each and every one of those people we touch, you touch the very essence of God. It doesn't get any better than that. The attitude that I would like you to get to is found in this story. Years ago, in a small village in the Midwest, a little 12-year-old girl named Terry was babysitting her little brother. And Terry walked outside to check the mail, and as she turned back from the mailbox, she couldn't believe her eyes. The house was fully engaged in fire. She very quickly, the house had been enveloped in flames. Terry ran as fast as she could into the flaming house, only to find that her baby brother was trapped by a burning rafter that had fallen and pinned him to the floor. Hurriedly, Terry worked to free her brother. She had trouble getting him loose as the flames got hotter and hotter and danced around their heads. And finally, she worked him free and she picked him up and quickly took him outside and revived him just as the entire house collapsed. By this time, firemen were on the scene and the neighbors had gathered outside of the smoldering remains of the house. And the neighbors that had been too frightened to go inside or do anything to help were tremendously impressed with the courage of the 12-year-old girl. They congratulated her on her heroic efforts and said, Terry, you are so very brave. Weren't you scared? What were you thinking when you ran into that burning house? I wasn't thinking about anything, she said. I just heard my little brother cry. What are you thinking about when we give out kits? When somebody comes to this church? I hope that we've heard somebody's cry. God bless you.